For those of you who thought that perhaps we were going to preach on 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 for the rest of the year, we're in for a nice change this morning. We're going to do a mini-series on the Holy Spirit because there are so many questions about the Holy Spirit. And so this will begin month of July in looking at the promises in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 to 17 about the Spirit. When I was pastoring in Montrose, Colorado, which, by the way, in some ways really feels like a Wild West town. There's a lot of really, well, odd people in Montrose. One day, it was a Saturday, and I believe it was about this time in July. It was a hot day like this one's going to be. I was standing in my living room, and I don't know, remember why I was just standing there, but I remember seeing this lady walking down the street. And we lived on a subdivision on the east side of town and close to the edge of town. And there were new houses being built in our development. And it was this person was new. And I thought, well, maybe she's just moving in. But she was walking determined, like set face, kind of impassive. And all of a sudden, she whips her face around, looking in the open door of our garage and walks into my garage. And I know that my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, Becca, is in the garage. And she's in there with the rabbits who she was raising for 4-H. And it's a hot day and she didn't want them out in the sun in their cages. And so she brought the cages in and she had these frozen bottles that they could sip out of as the water or as the ice would thaw. And so she was in there cooing and gooing and talking to them and putting her finger in. And this lady walks in and I'm frozen. I stand there for a moment in my living room going, I don't like this. I need to go out and see what's going on. So I started to move towards the garage door from the inside of the house. And I saw out of the corner of my eye, out she went and went on down the street. And I went in the garage and I said, what was that about? She said, in tears, she said, I don't know. She came in and she said, you let those cats out. And she said, they're not cats, they're my rabbits. And I've brought them in to get them out of the sun. Well, I don't care. You're not taking the right care of them. And then she stormed out. And I was flummoxed, and I thought, I'm going to have to confront her. That's just not okay. And so, sure enough, about 20 minutes later, here she comes from the other direction. And she was on the other side of the street, and I moved towards her on a diagonal. And I'm moving along, and all of a sudden, she lifts up her head, and she says, I'm 40 feet from her. What do you want? Just like that, like. And she said, don't you come near me. And I'm thinking, oh, we have a normal Montrose crazy person on our hands here. But be careful what you say and how you say it. And I said, you're the lady I just saw drop into my garage. And I'm uncomfortable with what you did. You accosted my daughter. And she said, oh, you don't even know what the word accost means. And then she goes, you're that pastor, aren't you? That's always a bad thing to hear. Yeah. Oh my gosh, what has she heard? Who'd she hear it from? What does she think? And I thankfully had enough presence of mind to say, look, I don't appreciate you going in and accosting my daughter. And I'd greatly prefer if you never do that again. In fact, I'd like you to have permission to go into my garage next time. And she said, I know all about you. People tell me things about you, and you don't know what you're talking about. You stay away from me, or I'll call the police. I was thinking, that's a great idea. Off she went. Now, believe it or not, I think this has something to do with the Holy Spirit. So let's see if I can make the tie in. So many of us, we really don't know the Holy Spirit. Or don't think that we do. We don't know the Spirit. And we hear what people say. Sometimes they'll say, and he gave me the gift of speaking in tongues. And we're going, oh my gosh, really? What's that? So we don't know him. We hear things. Some of the things we hear are kind of frightening. And so not wanting the Holy Spirit to be whatever the Holy Spirit is, we make decisions about what we're going to believe about the Spirit. And I find, as a pastor, people have a lot of different ideas about who the Spirit of God is, and a lot of them are not true. That's why we're going to have a short series on the Holy Spirit, because I want us all to know better who it is that we speak of, and to know him personally. That would be great. Let us pray. Lord, please come and attend to the Word of God, the very words of Jesus this morning, that they may be words made alive, quickened into our own heart and mind, that you would illumine the Word of God so that we might hear from Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, we know that is your work. We ask you to do that today, that along the way we might also know you. For we ask it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be in John 14 this week and next week, and Jesus has entered into the last hours of time with his disciples. Things are coming to a crashing end. It's just a matter of hours until he is betrayed, seized by the authorities, suffers through a kangaroo trial, and will be executed the very next day. And so Jesus is measuring his words, placing his weight down on the most important things that his disciples need to hear. Some of it for the next few hours, some of it for all the years between his first and second coming. So every word matters here. And so he turns to them and he says, John 14, verses 15 to 17, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you." May God bless this. This is the word of the Lord. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, translated in the NRSV, "If you love me," I firmly believe that's the wrong translation, that it is "when you love me." It's by the construction, it seems very clear that what Jesus has said and what John is seeking to intentionally convey is a word of confidence, not conditional, but "I know you're going to love me in the years that come. When you do," isn't that wonderful when we have people in our lives who, with confidence in us, just as Paul had confidence in the Corinthian Christians, "I know you're going to do the right thing." Here it is again. "When you love me, you will be," it's a simple future tense. It's not you might be, or you should be, or you ought to be, or you have to be. It's not in the subjunctive mood. It is a simple future. It says you will be keeping my commandments. Now, the key thing about this, I think, as Dr. Dale Bruner says in his marvelous commentary called the Gospel of John, he says the intention in all that Jesus is saying here is about desire. I know you're going to love me, and when you do, you will want to do my commandments. And the thing that Jesus is pointing into here is the transformation of desires. So much of the time, we approach commandments of God with a sense of, oh, duty. Of, I have to. I don't really want to, but I have to. It's a burden. But Jesus is saying that your experience is going to be one of wanting to do my commandments. It will be a joy to you. It will be a pleasantry to you. And the question is, how is this going to happen? That is not exactly what the disciples have been experiencing in these years they have been with him. They have struggled mightily. And they have swum upstream against their own fallen natures. How's that any different from you and me? Jesus says, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another paraclete. That's the Greek word. Parakletos is the Greek word. And sometimes you'll see it translated paraclete. And it means an encourager. It is the one called alongside. But in the Gospel of John especially, the paraclete is the one who's called alongside as the encourager. And that includes exhortation. He's not afraid or shy about saying, no, stop that. But it is all for our building up. It is about encouragement. The exhortation is in the service of building people up. I will give, and he will give to you another parakletos. And this one, he says, is not like the one that you have had, Jesus himself. Because I, as your encourager, your true friend, I have been here and am about to be gone. The incarnation, as we have known it, is about to end with the crucifixion. But my Father will give to you another parakletos who will be here and never will be gone. You're in such a more advantaged position when this one, this parakletos, the Holy Spirit, comes. And notice this. He's holding up another parakletos to his own being, the parakletos to them, the encourager. He said, you have known me personally. And the one who is coming, you will know personally. In other words, you're not going to get the force to be with you, Star Wars-wise. You're not going to get some sort of impersonal thing that sort of floats through your life, or some idea or concept. The Holy Spirit's a person, just like I'm a person, he's saying. You're going to get the same stuff that you've had with me. Verse 17, he finishes in this section this promise about the Holy Spirit by saying, even the Spirit of truth. Now, he is just finished saying to them a few verses earlier, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the truth, as it is presented in the Gospel of John, is something far more than a conceptual framework or a set of propositions or principles. The truth to the Hebrew people was and still is today, as it should be for you and me, seen through the eyes of the Gospel of John, personal. The truth is a person. And the Holy Spirit's job is to introduce us again and again and to cause us to encounter a person who is the truth. So his job isn't to teach us a set of rules. There may be rules in there, but that's not his primary purpose. His purpose is to introduce us to the second person of the Trinity. And two things will happen. One is that we will encounter the one who is the truth, and we will be reminded of all the things that he said and what do they mean. The Puritans said that the Spirit of God, his job is to illumine the Word of God so that you will actually meet God, so that you will know what does it mean, so that you will know the application of it. The Spirit of God longs to be with you in every sermon, for example, in every great song that is sung by our choir. The Spirit of God is present, wanting your cooperation that he might illumine for you the gospel. What does it mean? What do you want me to do? And that's one reason why I don't spend a lot of time on application. I struggled with that for 30 years in the pastor, and I finally gave up and said, best I can do is ask a question and send you home, hopefully listening to the Spirit of God who wants to illumine the Word of God to your benefit and for the sake of our world by shining light on the meaning of the Word of God. The last thing that I want to say about verse 17 is that Jesus very intentionally takes it out of the realm of the individual, even though all that I've just been saying is individual in its application. But the main stage on which this is happening is in us, not in me. He uses the plural pronoun entirely here, where he says, you will know him because he is making his home with you now. Where's the primary place that the Holy Spirit will illumine your eyes to what does the Word of God mean? It's in your congregation, in the community of faith. There's something so important to God about churches that it completely overbalances the warts that churches have. God is up to something marvelous in the local congregation. That's why Bill Hybels says, I believe the local church is the hope of the world. He's right. We are the hope of the world. There's something God is doing here by the Holy Spirit, and we're to look for it in one another. And when we see it, we're to be drawn to it and learn from it and take it in. That's why it's so important we be churches together. So what are you to do with this? Well, I want to go back to the lady. I would see her up and down our streets from time to time, although she mostly stayed away from my part of Leeds Avenue from that point on. But anytime she would see me, I'd see her eye kind of like, oh, there's his car. And she would not look at me. And she would not go near me. And she never spoke to me again. Now, you can do that with the Holy Spirit. You will grieve him. You will cut yourself off from some of what he wants to do in your life. You can do that. But don't. The great adventure is to be in relationship with the Spirit of God, who is the sole applier of the finished work of Christ into our life. He's the one who made a union with Christ possible. He's the one who maintains that daily. He's the one who's involved in all of the benefits of Christ being made yours and mine. Isn't that awesome? You want to know this Spirit, this Holy Spirit. So one of the things I'd suggest to you would be that you might want to ask the Father to give to you more of the experience of what the Holy Spirit is here for. You might go to the Father and say, Father, may I have more of the experience of the Spirit? Or you might ask the Spirit of God to make Jesus more plain to you in this congregation. That would be an awesome prayer, that the Spirit of God would be more known in our midst. Happy 4th of July. Happy July in its entirety, but especially that maybe this would be a month of the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we pray that you would open the Word of God to us and shine the light by the Spirit of God on those words of Christ Jesus, that we might actually hear from Jesus and that we might know him. And that we might know the meaning of the words. That we might love him more and more. Holy Spirit, what an incredible thing you do. To make Jesus the hero in the story. And to be very quietly in the background. But we want to know you too. And so we pray that you would make this possible and that you would begin to show yourself more and more to us in this congregation through one another. For we pray in the precious name, the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.